Diablo 4 arrives on Xbox June 6th. As the forces of hell gather, only you can stand in their way. Journey across the expansive open world of Sanctuary. Choose from 5 powerful classes to fit your playstyle. Adventure with your friends in 4-player co-op with cross-play and cross-progression on all platforms. On June 6th, hell welcomes all. Pre-order Diablo 4 Ultimate Edition on Xbox and get up to 4 days early access. Rated M for mature.
This episode is brought to you by Dave. When you need money in a pinch, Dave can help. It's a banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly. No interest, late fees, or credit check. Join the millions already using Dave to get financial relief and sign up for an extra cash account to get up to $500 instantly. Go to dave.com/Spotify or download the Dave app now. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking services provided by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, we're back. Always great to have Bill Browder back in studio, Hermitage Capital CEO, head of Global Maginsky Justice Campaign, New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, Freezing Order, a true story of money laundering, murder, and surviving Vladimir Putin's wrath, now available on paperback, and I'm holding it up if you're watching Fox Nation. Bill, great to see you.
Great to be here.
It's always good to weigh in with you because just for people to understand how you're linked to Russia. First off, you went there as an investor, correct? You were doing business. A lot of people were doing business in Russia. They had great hopes for what Russia would be after the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, it all looked good. You know, we thought that this was going to turn into a normal country, and you know, it was all very inexpensive. All these stocks were trading at like bargain basement prices, and we thought if it becomes a normal country, we're going to make a lot of money, and it's all going to be really great. Problem was that it didn't turn into a normal country. It turned into a massive Putin-led kleptocracy where Putin became the biggest mafia boss in the world. He was stealing everything hand over fist, and anybody who tried to complain about it ended up getting kicked out. I was kicked out for publicly complaining about
corruption.
Where were
you living?
I was living in Moscow at the time, and I got kicked out. My offices were raided. They seized our documents. And the next thing that happened was the documents were used in a complex scam and fraud where they stole $230 million of taxes that my firm paid to the Russian government. I had a young lawyer named Sergei Magnitsky. He discovered the fraud. He exposed it. He testified against the officials involved. And then he was arrested, tortured for 358 days, and murdered back in 2009 at the age of 37 in Russian police custody.
What did you do in his name?
I got a piece of legislation passed called the Magnitsky Act, named after Sergei Magnitsky. It freezes the assets and bans the visas of the kleptocrats and human rights violators in the Putin regime. The Magnitsky Act was passed in the United States in 2012. It has been since passed in 35 countries, including the UK, EU, Australia, Canada, various other places. And Putin is just furious about this legislation because he's a guy who commits human rights abuses, keeps a lot of money offshore, and I've put that money at risk, and he values money more than human life.
So in that time, we remember the Maginsky Act was front and center. Number one, John McCain helped pass it.
Yep.
Number two is, and he loved it because he saw Vladimir Putin as the enemy you do. And then it became pretty apparent because they tried to get to the Trump campaign and try to get rid of the Maginsky Act in exchange for re-releasing adoption, allowing Americans to adopt Russian kids again. So that's when the Maginsky Act was like, well, what is that act? And then we're realizing what you did.
Well, and in fact, at the Helsinki summit in 2018, Putin was so angry at me for getting the Magnitsky Act passed that he asked Trump to hand me over. I mean, yeah. You know, and it was in the press conference. And Putin said, you know, we'll hand over the 12 military intelligence officers who have been indicted in America if you hand over Bill Browder. And everyone says, who's Bill Browder? All of a sudden.
I knew.
Yeah, well,
and I watched.
Of the 8 billion people on the planet, Putin name-checked me, only one.
What were your thoughts then?
Two things. The first was it's not very pleasant to be, asked to be handed over. But it was also not unexpected because Putin has been – since the Magnitsky Act has been passed, he's been chasing me around the world with death threats, with kidnapping threats, 8 Interpol arrest warrants, extradition requests, lawsuits, movies. They were doing everything to try to get me, target me, ruin my life. And so it wasn't unexpected, but it was certainly not pleasant.
Right. And now that's what freezing order is about, right? What has happened? It's been 10 years since he's been coming after you?
Well, it's basically since Sergei Magnitsky was murdered 13 years ago. I've been on this campaign to get justice for Sergei. And the campaign has led to all these things, and he's been chasing me for 13 years. It's just been going on and on. And so freezing order is all about the second part of our campaign. So the Magnitsky Act was the first part. The second part was who got the money? Who got the $230 million that Sergei Magnitsky was killed over? And we started tracing the money. And well, we got whistleblowers, we had data leaks, we had criminal investigations. And every time we would find money, we would apply to the law enforcement agencies of the country where the money was, and they would freeze it. And that's what a freezing order is. And we've frozen about $60 million of the $230 million. We found some of the money here in the U.S. The Department of Justice issued a freezing order over a whole bunch of apartments in lower Manhattan that were used where they used the money that Sergei Magnitsky was killed over. And there's investigations and money frozen in France and Spain and Switzerland and Lithuania, Latvia.
Whose money is it?
It belongs to all sorts of people, people generally connected to the Putin regime. But there's one person in particular who got the money, Vladimir Putin. We were able to trace some of the money to Vladimir Putin himself.
How good a job, if at all, has the West done in freezing Vladimir Putin's assets and other oligarchs' goods?
Well, so Putin doesn't hold any money in his own name. All the money is held in other people's names. And generally, it's held in the name of Russian oligarchs. And I should point out, people often ask me, are there any good oligarchs out there? And the answer is no. In order to be an oligarch, you've got to do a deal with the devil. You got to do a deal with Putin. He gets half the money. So the way you freeze Putin's money is you freeze the oligarchs' money. So far, we've done a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. We've frozen about 40 oligarchs' assets, but I think there's a total of 118 people on the Russian Forbes list, wow. And they should all have their money frozen.
So interesting. So here's what Donald Trump said the other night about what's going on in the war. Cut 32.
Do you believe that Putin is a war criminal? He's responsible for the deaths of thousands of
Ukrainian men. I think it's something that should not be discussed now. It should be discussed later, because right now we have to get a war. If you say he's a war criminal, it's going to be a lot tougher to make a deal to get this thing stopped, because if he's going to be a war criminal where people are going to go and grab him and execute him, he's going to fight a lot harder than he's fighting, you know, under the other circumstance. That's something to be discussed at a later date. Right now, we want to get that war settled.
So what are your thoughts about his?
Well, I mean, I know Putin probably better than just about anybody in the world, because I've been fighting with him for 13 years. Putin doesn't negotiate. There's no discussion to be had. Putin, all he does, and he never compromises, never negotiates, never discusses. All he does is lies and escalates. And so, Putin is a war criminal. He's a murderer. He's someone who needs to be defeated, not engaged with.
So, yeah, right now, from when we first talked about this, war just started. And now over a year in, to describe how much prestige and power Vladimir Putin has lost.
Well, Putin, he went into this war, in my opinion, just to gain power. So when he took Crimea, his approval rating shot up, and he thought, this is pretty good.
Without a shot, basically. Just
yeah, without it. A shot fired. It was a great deal. He went up to 83% approval rating. And since then, things have been deteriorating and deteriorating. He went through COVID and the economy and all this kind of stuff. He saw a bunch of his other dictators in neighboring countries losing their positions. And Putin is a guy who understands very clearly that if he loses his job, there's no Putin presidential library to retire to. He can't just go and do paintings and enjoy all of his stolen money.
Like Obama. Now, he's not saying he stole money, but he can enjoy his retirement.
Or like George W. Bush, does nice painting and having a good time.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. If Putin loses power, he loses his money, he goes to jail, and he dies. And so for Putin, this is like, you know, the scariest thing in the world. And he's a scared little man. And so the reason he went into this war is not because of NATO or some grand vision of Russian expansionism or something like that. He went into this war because he wanted to stay alive, and he wanted to push his approval ratings back up. And he thought, okay, he's going to go into war. He's going to invade Ukraine. Zelensky is going to hop on the first U.S. military helicopter to Western Ukraine. And 3 days later, it's all going to be over. And this has turned into the worst quagmire, the biggest disaster Putin could have ever imagined. He's lost more than 200,000 soldiers. It's a complete mess.
Bill Browder, our guest, the name of his book now on paperback, Freezing Order. You're 100% right. And now in Bakhmut, in the actual battle itself, it was supposed to take Bakhmut and get closer in the winter and just punish Ukrainians who were just going to hold in the winter. They can't get Bakhmut. And Wagner Group is so frustrated. They came out and said, since we can't get any ammunition, we can't get ammo, we can't get backup, we're out of here. So there's quickly they tried to ameliorate the situation. But there's obviously friction between the mercenaries, the Wagner Group, and between regular army. And they lost ground over the last few days to the Ukrainians who are moving forward in that region.
And the counteroffensive hasn't even begun yet. I think that basically they've run out of soldiers. I think that there are no – I mean the Wagner guys have been decimated. They think they've lost more people in the last like month in Bakhmut than they lost in the entire Afghanistan thing, you know, over 10 years.
Right.
When the Soviets invaded Afghanistan.
See, everyone's like, oh, look out for the Wagner Group. Really? They're recruiting in prisons. How elite are they? You know,
they're better than the regular army. The regular army, like, nobody wants to be there at all, at least from Prigozhin's perspective. He's the head of the Wagner Group. He can get, like, trained killers because these guys are all in jail for murder. That's better than just, you know, some guy who is, like, a computer programmer who gets drafted into the army.
Right. I'm thinking of our quality Navy SEALs, those
– Oh, yeah. These guys are terrible at across the board, and they can't even – I mean, you know, Russia defined Ukraine as some kind of, like, non-existent, pseudo-country. And all of a sudden, these guys are as mean and tough and aggressive as anyone they could have ever encountered.
Oh, they know how to fight, and they were Western trained, and it looks like we played a role in that. But here's what bothers me, is that in the beginning, we're not going to give them HIMARS. We gave them HIMARS. In the beginning, we're not going to give them fighter jets. They got fighter jets elsewhere. Now we're not going to give you cruise missiles. We're not going to give you Patriots. We gave them Patriots. How many people died while we went back on our word and changed our mind? Why can't we make a comprehensive decision? Because losing is not an option for the West either.
You couldn't be more right. I mean, you're so right. It was shameful. We could have given them all this stuff at the very beginning. We could have created a no-fly zone. We could have given them the F-16s. We could have given them the tanks. And you know, we still to this day are not giving them long range artillery, but the British
are. The ATACMS.
The British are. And so what's and I read the other day, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I read the other day that that the Russians called us up and said, oh, there's a red line if you do that. Well, who are the Russians to tell us where the red line is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I 100% agree with that. The thing that I think the world has to understand that we should have learned from hundreds of years of knowledge is that our enemies, who are China and Russia, every time we try to acquiesce and rationalize, they look at it as weakness.
You're right.
And you have to not treat it like we're dealing with France and England. We can rationalize. France got mad about the nuclear missile sales. Australia said, we're not getting it from you. We're getting it from America. They were furious. They pulled back their ambassador. We made up. We talked to them. We're pretending as if we can do that with China and Russia. And we can't.
You can't. And the one thing I would say about this whole conflict in Ukraine, for anybody who says that we shouldn't be in Ukraine or we shouldn't give them what they need, is that Russia is either tied for number one or the number two adversary to the United States and to the West. We can spend 5% of our military budget, not lose a single American or British or European soldier, and we can basically eliminate this enemy for the next 25 years. It seems like a pretty good deal to me.
It is a good deal. But the president of the United States has to do a good job explaining to the American people every chance he gets. This is what we're doing. It's a small portion. It's 0.5% or 1% of our military budget. A small portion. This is what's happening. Yeah, would I like to see the Europeans give more? But General Keane broke it down for me and says, if you think about it, in terms of what they're doing in training, what they're not doing in dollars, he thinks France should be giving more in Germany, but the UK is doing a lot. Sweden's stepping up. My goodness. The worst nightmare just happened to Vladimir Putin. Dreaded NATO is adding Finland and eventually Sweden. That is his worst nightmare because that's his big complaint and fear about Ukraine.
Yeah, I mean, he was worried about NATO expanding. Well, he's just got a 500-mile border with Finland. And by the way, the Finns know how to fight. I mean, if there
they
was,
are not afraid.
Well, I mean, nobody wants to be at war, but the Finns have already been through this with Russia, and they pushed the Russians back. They successfully fought off the Russians back in 1939. I mean, it's they know what they're doing, the Finns.
So listen, Bill Browder's here. One more segment. It's called Freezing Order, a true story of money laundering, murder, and surviving Vladimir Putin's wrath. A lot of people ask, what's he really like? Is he really that bad? Bill knows, and he breaks it down in a real-life thriller. He wish it wasn't so thrilling, but it is. Don't move.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. Is your business ready to integrate live video chats into your app? The Vonage Video API makes it simple for developers to build custom solutions that make sense for your business. From providing faster tech support and better customer service to hosting more productive meetings and classes, live video enhances every conversation. Go live on your terms with Vonage. Learn more at Vonage.com.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
So Bill Browder's been one of probably the number one enemy of Vladimir Putin because he continues to surround him everywhere he can and stop him financially however he can. His book, Freezing Order, is now out on paperback, a true story of money laundering, murder, and surviving Vladimir Putin's wrath. How would you characterize his health and his political future right now?
Well, his health is hard to know. I mean,
he doesn't look great.
He doesn't. He definitely doesn't look great, and the rumors are abounding that he's not well, that he's got cancer, Parkinson's, this, that. Who knows? I don't know about his health, but what I can tell you is that he's really out on a limb politically. And the way I can tell you this is just to look at how scared he is of any type of opposition. So I've got a friend, a close friend of mine. His name is Vladimir Karamurza. He is a Russian opposition activist. He went on to CNN and MSNBC and criticized Putin at the beginning of the war from Russia. They just sentenced him to 25 years in prison for treason. And so
– is he there?
He's in jail for treason right now. He's sitting in jail, suffering in jail for treason. For treason. And what is his treason? Calling Putin a war criminal, saying to Putin – is a murderer.
Yeah, of course. And then the Wall Street Journal reporter, they just scooped up Paul Whale, and they're holding on to.
Yep.
And we are making it clear that we're willing to swap again. Are we sending, as much as I want the Wall Street Journal reporter back, the fact that they feel they can do it, and now we have to go collect Russians, put them into our custody, and then swap for them. Should we?
Well, I mean, I can think about Vladimir Karamurza and him dying in jail, and I want to get him out of jail. And so,
what would you do for you?
Look
at Navalny.
Yeah, I mean, he's should we swap? I don't know. I mean, I think that to a certain extent, the reason why they grabbed Evan Gershowitz is because they got such a good deal on
Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner. You know, they got a sort of world renowned arms dealer in exchange for a girl who had a little pot on her.
That arms dealer came out and said that Donald Trump is welcome in Russia if he wants, because he understands how badly he's being treated here. How is the perception of this government in Russia, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that Russia is just furious with America and the UK and just about everywhere right now, because we're supplying weapons, we're sanctioning Putin, and they're suffering. And by the way, it's really important. Putin claims, oh, the sanctions aren't working, everything is going well, don't worry. But, you know, it's not. It's a disaster over there.
South Africa is choosing to supply weapons. Why would they do that?
I think that there must be somebody getting a big bribe in South Africa, because South Africa, I think if you look at who do they make money off, who do they sell stuff to? I think less than 1% gets sold to Russia of their goods. 40% goes to America, Europe, Japan, all the good guys. And so why would they be like flushing their economic future down the toilet? Somebody must be getting a bribe.
The one that's got to back out is India.
Yeah,
I know India, they have a military relationship and they hate China, but that we have to pressure India.
Well, I think we have to pressure everybody, because back in the days when I went around the world telling everyone Putin's a murderer, bad guy. And so we're doing business with Russia.
It's crazy. Pick up Freezing Order. You'll really understand what's going on. Bill Browder, always great to see you.
Thank you.
Fearless and Proud podcast series looks at acts of bravery and strength by women. And in the first season, we'll look at women who played important roles in the Civil War. In episode 2, as the war approached their kitchen windows or as their own loved ones went off to fight, women decided to put on a uniform or disguise themselves and join the struggle in ways not seen before. We'll discuss how these women maintained their disguises and why the era's social mores helped their deception on both sides. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts via Apple Podcasts, and Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.